D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingen here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by our friend Tim Hasselbeck. First of all, Tim, congratulations on a 10-0 season with the Ensworth Tigers. I understand you have a bye in the first round of the playoffs?
That's right. Thank you. First round bye. So it's been good. It's been good.
So you can't lose. You can't lose.
Not this week, at least.
Manning tailgating commercial.
Exactly.
We can't lose. That's good. That's good. I'm sure D. Mace, you know, was sitting in his palace live streaming our game. I did expect you to make the drive out to Memphis, D. Mace. Actually, who am I kidding? That was probably a private jet for you to Memphis. You probably don't do the drive.
Hey, when y'all play a little bit closer to home, then I can I come.
Next Friday when we host the game.
There you go. Right there.
So, Tim, I want to start with the play at the end of the Titans-Patriots game in regulation. Drake Mays, touchdown. He held the ball for nearly 12 seconds before finding Ramondre Stevenson in the end zone to force overtime. I would love if you could take us into the mind of a quarterback, seeing as you are a quarterback, and what a quarterback does in that situation. It was an incredible play by Drake May, but take us through what it's like as a quarterback in that situation.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times as a quarterback, you're coached to have, you know, this internal clock in your head of how long you can hold on to the football. But I think and that oftentimes dictates, you know, your timing, how you play, when you get rid of the football, that type of stuff. But then obviously there are a few like rare circumstances where, you know, it's different. And the idea of like, you know, the clock in your head, that has to go out the window, and it's just about making a play. It's fourth down. It's a two-point play. It's an end-of-the-game scenario. I think that's kind of the feeling as a quarterback when you get in that environment is, okay, like I've got to do something. Now I'm abandoning kind of everything I've been taught as a quarterback in terms of the timing I need to play with or things that I can and can't do with the football. And I just need to find any way to make a play to give my team a chance. And so, I know that I talked to you guys, you know, pre-draft about how I felt about Drake May. Look, he is so talented. And that's a wild play. I think the only other guy I've seen with a play to go like a similar length is Donovan McNabb. Had a play against the Dallas Cowboys years ago that like felt like a 14-second play. But it was an incredible play by him. It's obviously hard to cover for that long, and typically if a guy can stay alive for that long, he's going to find someone open.
The NFL, since it began tracking these statistics, I think it was in 2016, the only other touchdown where the quarterback held the ball longer than Drake May was Jaden Daniels' Hail Mary the previous week. So,
that's incredible. That one kind of feels different. Like a lot of times you see quarterbacks do that, but like that's a similar, Adam, that's a very similar thing. Okay, Hail Mary, if it's where you can reach the field or reach the end zone, then like that's great. You can throw it in the end zone, but you also have to give guys the time to get down there. And so going back a week, like that was obviously a great job. Look at that, two young quarterbacks, making insane plays for the team.
Today is the NFL trade deadline, 3 p.m. Central, if I'm not mistaken. The Titans made a couple of trades a couple of weeks ago, trading DeAndre Hopkins and Ernest Jones. There are reports that they could be looking to move one of their defensive linemen, such as Arden Key or Sebastian Joseph Day. If you were in the Titans' shoes, if you were Rand Carthon, how would you approach today? Would you make any more moves if you were the Titans?
Yeah, I think it would have to be great, and I would have to feel like I was really winning the trade. And I think some of that has to do with, like, coming off of this week's game, you know, a little bit of optimism in the locker room. Because even if you are making the decision that you're building for the future, like, you still have a long way to go. And, like, morale in your building, matters. I mean, like, look at the Saints, for example. Like, look, that was a team that had high aspirations, and then, you know, things start to not go well because of injuries and other things. And then the next thing you know, like, the wheels have completely come off. You can't find a win, and now you're firing your head coach. And I'm not saying that that would happen here, but, like, you know, I do think that even when you're rebuilding, you have to have an idea for how morale in the building is. So, like, I want to do it just to do it. I would have to really feel like it was a great deal because you were taking advantage of somebody who, you know, had a situation of need.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the undefeated Innsworth Tigers, who have a bye this week. So I can't wait to see them play the next following week.
This is the one week you're going to come out to campus. You come out to Frisk Campus out on Highway 100 on Friday night. You're going to be like, hey, Tim, I was here. Where is everybody? Come on, don't do that.
No, dang it. The jig is up.
I don't want to deal with parking. I'm going to come out this Friday.
It's like, man, I came out. Wasn't nobody there, man. Come on. Didn't nobody give me the memo? But is this because obviously, you know, there's a lot going on in regards to Will Levis and the injury. Him not playing well at the beginning of the season when he was a starter, to when is he going to be back underneath center? And Brian Callahan has said, listen, when he's healthy, he's our guy. But even with that being said, is this sort of like the final chance for Will Levis to change the minds of those that are going to be making, you know, the decisions when it comes to the draft and who they draft or what quarterback they may draft?
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. Like, I got a text from somebody during the Seattle game this week. And, you know, I don't know if you guys, you know, how closely you saw, but basically Geno Smith throws two terrible interceptions. It basically, you know, is why they end up losing the game. Obviously Stafford makes some plays late in the game, you know, for the Rams to win it. But the text I got was, well, Seattle is going to be drafting a quarterback, you know? And so, yeah, like 100%, like that's what's happening. And I think the other thing that's happening is looking how he does, assuming he's back in the lineup. If you know, we think that that's what's going to happen based on what Brian Callahan said. He's also kind of, you know, not kind of, he's putting his resume out there for the rest of the league, a little bit like guys like Drew Locke or Mason Rudolph, guys that had opportunities to be starters, Jameis Winston, like whoever it may be, the guys that were starters, that what they did was they maybe played themselves into a different role in their time in the National Football League. So, you know, I just say that to say that, like, there's a lot of pressure on Will Levis. So even when you talk about a team that's like, oh, these aren't meaningful games and November and December, you know, for a young quarterback, you know, you can kind of just go out there and play free and cut it loose. Like, not really, because you're actually kind of playing for your football future. Mm-hmm. So there's immense pressure, I think, on guys in those situations.
Now, quickly, let me segue out of the Titans and go to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm watching Kansas City yesterday, and it occurred to me, are they this sort of generation's version of the New England Patriots, or this mm-hmm. generation's version of the San Francisco 49ers when they were winning championships? Because you look at them, as you watch them play, they have some key players, more importantly the quarterback and then the defensive lineman in Jones. But mm-hmm. this isn't a team that has like superstars littered everywhere. But because of the head coach and the quarterback combination, it just seems like no matter what happens in the game, they always have a chance to win. And it was that way no matter what was going on in the game in New England. You knew if the game was close, you had a chance to win it. Because why? Bill Belichick, but most importantly, Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, 100%. I would actually say this, and I felt this way when he was in Philadelphia. There was a stretch where it was Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb, and the defensive coordinator was Jim Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like four straight NFC championship games or something. Mm-hmm. No, they just happened to kind of run into greatest show on turf. Then they ran into, you know, a Tampa team that was extremely loaded. But like, so like Andy was that good back then. And so I think like the run that Belichick had and all that stuff, obviously like for a long time, everyone's like, hey, you know, greatest coach of all time, clearly with Brady, you know, greatest quarterback of all time. And like, you know, they were, you know, pairing those two, you know, as the reason. But like also Belichick was a defensive coordinator, had guys like Dean Pease and others that were doing a good job with the defense. I really think, especially when you look at what the Chiefs have been on offense this season, and then look at what the Chiefs were on offense early last season in their struggles. Like, they were a defensive-led team at times last year early in the season. And I think you could say that same thing about him. In just the way that people would talk about Dick LeBeau at the Steelers, like, I think you need to talk about Steve Spagnuolo like that, as like maybe the greatest defensive coordinator ever. Like, what in terms of what he's done. So yeah, I think it's Andy. I think it's Patrick Mahomes. And then I think the piece that doesn't get talked about enough, and I think he's that good, is Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator. So yeah, I think they are like this era's, you know, that team. Because I mean, like, look, maybe the Lions will be good enough, maybe, but like that's always been the case. Like, there's maybe, but like if you said, all right, like, who should be the favorite? Who is the favorite? Yeah, it's got to be Kansas City.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, as you, I don't know if you were watching live last night, but I didn't get to see the game. I did see at the very end the Bucks tie it, and there was a lot of talk that they did an amazing job to get back and get to that point without Mike Evans, without Chris Godwin, and here they are. Should they have gone for two? In your mind, in that moment, it's easy to say it today, the day after, but like in the moment, where you think, because I did stop and say, are they going for one or are they going for two? And I saw Baker Mayfield sprinting off the field. It didn't look like they even pondered it.
Yeah, I think that that's one of those situations where whatever you have in your book, like whatever the sheet says, I think exactly what you're talking about is like why you can't always go off of the sheet, right? So
right.
I don't know if you saw it. I was actually a couple weeks ago, I was at the Harvard Holy Cross game, okay? And it ended up being on Van Pelt's Bad Beats. That's why you would have seen it. But essentially what happened was Holy Cross ties the game after two Hail Mary attempts. I mean, it was wild. Sorry, so they're down one. After two, they actually connect on the second Hail Mary, basically. And next thing you know, like, they just, without batting an eye, boom, we're going for two. And they don't get it. And you're like, oh, my gosh. And actually another game, Eastern Michigan had a game this weekend where they went for two to win it at the end. And so, yeah, I think it's easy now, sitting here now, knowing the result and all that stuff, to be like, ah, I should have gone for two. But, like, you don't always get it. And then when you don't get it, you can say, well, man, like, you had the best team in the league, you know, on the ropes, and you had momentum. And
I guess that's, you know, the question, is when you are clearly the underdog, and you're thinking, okay, if we lose the coin toss, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes gets it, and it's game over. You never get the ball back. So when you're the decided underdog, that's what you're talking about, Tim, is that's not on the chart, right? That's the feel.
That's
the argument for, hey, if you lose, okay, but this was your best chance to win, not giving the ball back to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and then to your point, the personnel part of it, where you're like, oh, not only do we have these guys against the ropes and we're the underdog, like, we're really the underdog because, like, our best players aren't here with us. So, look, I think in that environment, I hate being the Monday morning quarterback thing on it. I think in that environment, going for two was the move. Like, I do, in that environment. But, like, I don't hate the move by Todd Bowles to say, look, conditions aren't bad. this offense, you know, this Chiefs offense has not been amazing all year long. Like, we like our chances, and we feel like we have some momentum, and, like, the coin toss might go our way, you know? So, like, I don't, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think there's a wrong answer. I think it's right to consider it. I think the fact that he didn't hesitate, I think maybe gives you a glimpse into, like, what he was thinking. I think if there's hesitation, then you could maybe question the decision. But I think because there was no hesitation, I would find no fault in him.
Tim, if I'm reading this playoff bracket correctly, your Ensworth team will face the winner of Briarcrest and MBA in the next mm-hmm. round, which means you will be pitted up against potentially Chris Sanders. There might be some division on this station.
Hey, can y'all beat that brakes off?
Never mind. There's no division,
there's
I guess.
There's never no division. I'm an Ensworth father. There's not a division whatsoever. I hope y'all beat the brakes off of them if y'all play them.
Well, listen, we don't know who will play. Whoever exactly. We play, I'm sure, be really talented week two opponent. And so, hey, listen, it's about – obviously you guys are going to get the message. It's about us. Right now, we're focusing on us, okay?
Coach talk, yes.
I give you, hey, listen, it used to drive me crazy. I just want everyone to know, like, I am fully invested in coach speak, okay? Fully invested.
Life by bumper sticker.
Yes. You know what I mean? Oh, I mean, man. Fully invested. Hey, great opponents, really just about us. We can do better. And the only reason I can say this right now is that all of our football players are in class.
Exactly.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, coach speak extraordinaire, joining us as he does every Tuesday. Tim, we'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good. One practice at a time. Guys, one show at a time.
That's right.
One show at a time.
One segment at a time.
One show.
We just bagging them. That's all we do.
One segment at a time. Yep, that's right. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
Yep.
You just want him to beat the brakes off of Chris Sanders.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
First, NBA has to get past Briarcrest.
Yeah, you got
and
a point
then there. They could play Tim Hasselbeck's mighty, mighty Ensworth Tigers. 615-737-1025. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee will release its first of six rankings tonight. What are we expecting? We'll break that down next. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game.